Now, the book, The Diary of Losing Dad, is the true story of a heartbroken woman trying to keep it together and an intimate insight into what it's like to slowly, painfully lose someone you love. Welcome to the show, Emily Bevan.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. And first of all, of course, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, I know this started out as a journal or diary. Was that about 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. It was, I studied English at university before I went to drama school, because my main profession is as an actor. And I've always kept little diaries to sort of jot down memories or little bits of poetry. And around the time that Dad was really unwell in 2013, 2014, I was keeping a journal the whole time. In it were, sort of reflections on what was going on, fragments of poems, diaries about work, because I was filming a zombie series at the time in Manchester, which was a bit surreal. In hospital by Dad's bedside, or I was going up and putting on loads of weird makeup and sort of strange contact lenses and playing a zombie. And I was also having a fling with a guy I'd met in Berlin on the day my dad had a stroke, which was caused by underlying renal cancer. And it was just basically this really intense time where keeping a diary sort of was a way of staying sane. And I think sometimes when everything feels a bit too much, getting it down on the page and kind of organizing your thoughts can be really helpful. That's what the book is based on, basically.
Yeah, it's bizarre, really, because you're the second person I've spoke to in 2 days. I did a pre-recorded interview yesterday afternoon with a woman who which will be played out in a few weeks. Sadly, she lost her son to suicide, and she did exactly the same. She said there's no guidebook for grief. She said, but what helped me was writing fables, writing poems, putting down, the things that I was doing. And I think this sort of book will help other people in the future.
I really hope so. It definitely has helped me. And obviously, I kept these diaries over that period. And then after Dad died, I left them and I didn't really want to go anywhere near them. And I wanted to sort of run away a bit. And I went traveling and actually ended up meeting my husband and just sort of was working really hard. And then it was a couple of years after that that I went back to my notebooks and started writing them up. And the process of going through them, retelling the story in my own words, editing, writing, rewriting was so healing and so cathartic for me. So the kind of the book is really my own kind of journey through grief, and the fact that it's being read by other people is amazing and a real bonus. And what I've wanted to do is expand out the subject of grief at the end of my book, because obviously my experience is very specific to me and each individual experiences grief in such a unique way. So I've invited friends at the end of the book to reflect on their experiences of grief from 1 year on to 33 years on. And I really hope that for anyone who's lost a parent, that might be quite a comforting section to sort of leaf through. And obviously there's no roadmap, there's no kind of timeline, but just to sort of read other people's experiences, someone who might be at a similar stage than them, someone who maybe is a little bit further on. I'm really hoping that will be of comfort to people.
Yeah, I think it will be.
I hope so.
And I have to say, for our listeners out there, it's not a completely sad book at all. I mean, I was reading, it's told from the perspective of a family who are stress-eating Percy pigs, scrabbling around for change in the parking machine and breaking down in the chemist because the pharmacist can't get the right cream.
That's true. But that's life, isn't it?
Yes,
it's life.
Is.
And there was a lot of really funny things that happened. And hospitals are, for anyone who spent a great deal of time in hospitals, you laugh as much as you cry in a hospital. And so humour is something that really bonded us as a family. And there's a lot of humour in it. I mean, the first mouthful of NHS shepherd's pie that my dad tasted, he sort of looked quite sort of serious for a second and said, "My compliments to the chef." Absolutely. And we were just sort of like so grateful for these moments of levity, as there were many of them. And so, yeah, it's not a very serious book. I mean, there's also the poetry is quite absurd at some points. And, there's random things in there. when I was leaving the hotel in Manchester, on one occasion, a guy jumped out from behind a hedge and asked to buy my knickers. So I wrote a poem about that. So it's kind of, it was very strange, but there's all sorts of stuff in there. And it's, yeah, it's not, it's hopefully not a heavy read. It's a sort of, you know, a very truthful journey through, you know, love and loss and life, hope.
Yeah. One tough thing it must have been for you, but slightly surreal as well, is sadly just after your father died, you had to film your own death scene in the flesh. Is that where you was a zombie?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. And it actually, at the time, I think because when you lose a parent, it's such a massive thing. I don't think you can really kind of make the shape of it. You can't really take, I suppose you can't really make out how huge a thing it is at that point, because it's such an enormous thing to lose a parent, that I don't think I quite realized how surreal that was at the time. I was just like, oh, I'm just off to film my own death scene today, a few days after my father's own funeral. But yeah, that was very surreal. And actually, weirdly, in my work, since Dad died, I've played a grieving daughter, I've played a grieving wife, I've played a grieving sister, I've committed suicide, I've been murdered. I mean, it was actually quite funny looking back on it, thinking it was all, I mean, all of it's kind of, I think sort of sometimes death and grief has followed me for a while, and it's obviously been a bit of a theme in my life. But I think in some ways it's been really helpful too. I haven't been able to shy away from it as a subject.
Yeah. And it, what about afterwards as well? I mean, it must be difficult. I don't know which is worse, having somebody die slowly of an illness but being prepared, or them dying very quickly, which is better for them but it's a shock for you. What about the aftermath? Did you cope afterwards?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. I think I agree with you. Like, I have friends who've lost parents really suddenly, and I think that experience must make you go quite mad, like your whole world being thrown upside down and not having any time to prepare. And I'm grateful for the fact that we, you know, although nothing ever prepares you for the moment when they die, the shock of that, we obviously knew that he wasn't well, and incrementally had got used to that over a series of months. But I think, if I'm honest, I don't know how mindfully I kind of navigated grief after Dad died. I think I was just like, I'm going to keep busy and I'm going to just throw myself into life and work. And I think probably from the outside, I would have looked like I was coping quite well, and would have seemed quite positive. And but then it really did catch up with me a couple of years later. I think if you don't really allow it space to rage or to sort of take up space in your life, it will catch up with you. So I mean, I think I needed to be busy. I think my way of coping was just to throw myself at life as much as I could. But I think writing the book, although it came a couple of years later, I really went through, I feel like I went through the whole kind of gamut of emotions in that process. And I think also another thing that really helped me was discovering a podcast called Griefcast, which I would really recommend. I'm actually going on it this week. But it's a really wonderful podcast where the presenter, Carrie Ad Lloyd, interviews often comedians or, you know, actors about, or anyone, in fact, about grief. And again, it's just a sort of people telling their stories is really helpful, I think, because you can connect to it. You can sort of find similar experiences and just feel less alone, I think. In your grief.
It's one of those subjects nobody likes talking about, nobody likes thinking about, but it's going to happen to us all eventually, isn't it?
Yeah, it will. And I don't think we're very well prepared. And I think it's frightening, and it's also scary to talk to someone who's not well about death, and I regret that. I think I'd like to have been braver and maybe talked to my dad about how he felt about death, potentially, you know, what he would have wanted for his funeral, like all those kind of conversations, which just felt so, you know, impossible at the time, because we didn't want to acknowledge that. We didn't want to scare him. But I think there is a different way of looking at it. And there's a sort of way of taking ownership over death as well, that can be really beautiful and really positive. I think Esther Perel, who's an amazing therapist has done some work on this recently and is encouraging people to talk more about death, like, you know, years ahead, just to sort of have those conversations. And I think there's definitely more of a movement than there was even 5 years ago towards, you know, open and honest conversations about end of life.
I think so. And I think as well, it all depends who you are. I mean, if I don't know if you, your father had any grandchildren, but if you're a youngster, you know, how do you explain it to them? And if your mum's still around, whilst you're grieving as a daughter, she's grieving for her life partner. It's just a minefield, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And seeing how little people process grief in their own way is really touching. There's actually a moment in the book where I talk about my niece, Maya, who was asking me about acting because she wants to be an actress as well. And she was like, Emily, when I grow up, this was just quite soon after Dad died, will you help me to be an actress if you're still alive? And so she was kind of like, and I think at the time I was only in my early 30s, but I think she was a bit like, well, anyone could die. And Grandpa's just died. You might die. And it was just her way of sort of processing it, which was so sweet and funny at the same time. But yeah, my mum's been amazing. And I think, you know, seeing her refind her life on her, you know, as an individual, as a person without a husband, has been extraordinary to witness. And she's been very well supported through it, but she still feels like Dad's in her life, which is a lovely thing. She feels like he's close. She sort of believes that really strongly.
Yeah. And I think that's a great thing to believe. Why not? There's no reason.
Yeah.
He might well be. It doesn't matter whether you believe or not. If that's going to help you through, then go for it. Go for it. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think it's a great book. It really is. We're selling it on our website as well, tre.radio.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So our listeners can get it there. It came out in February. It's called The Diary of Losing Dad by Emily Bevan. Emily, what's your next acting role?
So I'm going to be in an episode of Midsummer Murders. Talking of death, I'm going to be in Midsummer Murders playing twins.
Both of you, you're playing them both.
I am. Very different women. So that's the next episode due out in the UK called The Scarecrow Murders. So look out for that. And then I'm also in a Nick Hornby adaptation for Sky, which is called Funny Girl. Starring Gemma Arterton and Rupert Everett. And that's coming out in September.
Wonderful. Well, I wish you lots of health and happiness. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
It's been lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.